Welcome to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. Two ways for you to interact with us here on the program, 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat, as the Giants fell to the Niners yesterday in Levi Stadium in the Bay Area, 31-21. So the Giants now 1-8 on the season, 1-8 for the first time since 1980. The Niners get their first win of the season. They snap a 10-game losing streak that was dating back to last season. And, Jeff, when you look back at this game yesterday, a lot of issues that were prevalent in the Rams game the previous week, meaning the Niners had a number of explosive plays once again in terms of breaking the game open with their offense. You had a turnover that gave the Niners the football back. They were deep in their own territory, but still that had been a reoccurring theme. And then another missed field goal. Aldrick Rosas now four straight games with a missed field goal. Big picture perspective, the turnover, the missed field goal, didn't necessarily impact the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
It was clearly more of a defensive issue, and the fact that the Niners were very effective on third down, well over 60% in that category, and they were 32% heading into that game. So this was an area that they struggled with. I mean, they were pretty much in the bottom of the rankings for the most part across the board.
Yeah, they were 30th in the NFL in that category. And really, when you talk about the defense, you know, what's the number one goal for the defense is to get the other team's offense off the field. The Giants couldn't do that yesterday. You mentioned the big plays. Again, big plays down the field, long touchdowns, another tight end score. So, I mean, I guess if you are going to be a fantasy football player, I'm going to probably pick up the tight end for tight end.
I don't think he's available, though. I would say Travis Kelce's probably owned, considering he's one of the best tight ends of the
NFL. Well, if you have him, then you're looking pretty good. But, you know, the overall big picture of this is the fact that, you know, we can tell you how difficult it is to go on the road this far away to play to begin with. If you want to use that kind of an excuse, go ahead. But really, collectively, when you look at the way the team was on the field yesterday, there was just, you know, the game was close for a while. And I think that, you know, you get into the second half and you're down two scores. That field goal by Aldrick Rosas, you know, that's a momentum swing. The Giants get a field goal there, and they're still knocking on the door trying to get back in the game. But when you have to, you got to be able to stop the opposing team, get the ball back, go down and try to score some things. Just a lot of missed tackles watching the game on TV. Again, this morning I watched it, tons of missed tackles offensively. You know, I think if you want to take some positives out, the Giants continue to get better in the running game.
Absolutely.
Okay? I think the offensive line is giving Eli Manning enough protection to throw the football. Sterling Shepard has now made his presence back into the lineup, making some really good plays and things like that. But, you know, really, when you look at the defense, you're really scratching your head about this New York Giants defense. The way that they could play so well last year with basically the same guys. You know, you mentioned – I didn't mention, but we saw Harrison go out of the game. I don't know what the update is on him. That's certainly a big loss. Hopefully it's nothing that is major. But, you know, you take him out of that lineup, and, you know, Carlos Hyde, he's not the greatest runner in the world. But this offense for the San Francisco 49ers hasn't been anything to write home about.
No, this was their breakout game.
I mean, this is kind of – if you're Kyle Shanahan, you're saying, you know, this is what I'm seeing in this offense. And and how about this? You talk about this team, the 49ers, with their quarterback playing pretty well and their offense getting it going. And then you look at the Minnesota Vikings, and now they've got a guy in Case Keenum who's playing very well, and they're on the cusp of maybe activating Bridgewater. Those are a lot of good problems to have when your offense is functioning the way they are. But, you know, I don't know what happened with Eli with seeing the replay. I don't know if he was trying to throw that ball away or trying to tuck it underneath.
It looked as if, to me, Jeff, he was trying to get rid of the football and maybe, like, toss it at the last second.
Yeah.
I mean, he said in his post-game presser he's got to do a better job holding on to the football. He certainly took responsibility.
Of course, and he always will.
Which he always does.
There's
which
no
is not
question.
Necessarily a surprise. But, I mean, just remembering what he said, I don't think he gave a definitive answer as to what exactly he was trying to do. But, I mean, after looking at the replays, it looked like it was an attempted shovel pass.
Yeah, he
kind of
had his arm, and then when his arm was coming like this, he couldn't tell if he was trying to tuck it away and hit the ground, or he was just trying to, when you're in the grass, trying to throw it in the vicinity of a receiver or a back. That, to me, is what I thought he was trying to do, because I've seen Eli do that before. I've seen him when he's in the grass going down, trying to make a play and trying to throw it to an incomplete. Unfortunately, his arm hit the helmet, and that's when the ball had come out. So it was all together in that, but I mean, come on. I just, you know, it's really, really difficult. And as a fan, I'm sure everybody is just suffering through this as we are. But I just, you know, when you look back at the preparation again, it comes down to preparing for football. No matter if you're the Giants or any of the other 31 teams, you've got to prepare to play. You've got to go out there and play. You're paid to play the football game. You're paid to do and give max effort every single play, this and that. I think a lot of times that's going to get called into question. A lot of people are going to be talking about that, certainly. But, you know, where do you go from here? It's a tough situation, people. I'm telling you right now, coming into this building when you're losing this many games, and we've talked about it on the program before, Lance, is, you know, how do you get up to play these games? And I can tell you that, you know, if you're a guy on this team and understanding the circumstances of what is going on around here with the losing, you are being critiqued and you're being evaluated. So I just can never understand, and I know that some people are going to ask the questions about guys going on the field and quitting and doing all that kind of stuff. I cannot honestly tell you. I can't really talk about it because it's something that I never did. I was on some really bad teams, trust me. But it all comes down to your performance. So if you want to quit or you don't want to play, that's just a direct reflection on yourself and how you prepare and how you play games. So collectively, when you have 22 guys on the field at the same, you know, offense and defense, you got to go out and play the way you're supposed to play because you're being evaluated on not only on this team, and if you're not here next year, what about the other teams that you're going to go play for? So it's a tough situation. I think that, you know, a lot of times we get on the coaches, you know, the coach is this, the coach is that. I'm telling you from a player's perspective, the bottom line, in my opinion, is when you are handed a game plan, you're expected to know that game plan. You go out and perform it, and you do the best you can for what the coaches prepare you to do. That's all you can ask of these players.
Well, I think you brought up an interesting point, Jeff. When you play for a team in the NFL, considering any team, this is not necessarily for the Giants, you're always putting stuff on film to be reviewed, not by your own franchise, but everybody else. Correct. So when that narrative comes into play about the lack of effort, quitting, not wanting to try, it's hard to look at that through even a player's lens when these young players especially, who are just starting off their careers, can't afford to have that mindset, knowing that when free agency comes about, they don't know if they're still going to be with this team, and they need to think about their long-term future.
And don't even mention free agency in that conversation, because these young guys, they're not even going to be free agents, right? I mean, they have contracts to keep playing. Now, they'll be a free agent when they get cut.
you never know when that's going to be. You never know when you're going to be a free agent.
Forget about worrying about free agency and getting paid. How about worrying about what team I'm going to be on next year? Or even at the end of the season, because the bottom line, and people have heard me say this on this program before, an NFL player should be scared to death to lose their job. And that's the motivating factor of all things. I come to play on Sunday. I prepare during the week to play football because I am afraid to lose my job, because this is a job that is very coveted. There's only 53 of them on each team. 47 get to play on Sunday. So they're in itself is something you should be very proud about, and you go out there and you got to do what you can because you got to be afraid not to lose your job. And that's why I played 22 seasons, because I was always afraid to lose my job no matter what year I was in the NFL. Listen, by the time I was in my 10th, 11th, 12th year, I've arrived. I've made it. I sustained it. I'm in the league, but still, and now I'm older.
And you want to go with a younger guy.
Yeah,
you never know.
I got to figure out, okay, what do I need to do? And that's something you always, I don't know. It's inconceivable to me that people play the way they do. And I'm not so much picking on this Giants team. It's throughout the NFL that you could put that on film and say, I'm going to have a chance to go play for another team, or I'm going to have a chance to still play for this team. There's a lot of evaluating going on teams that have these types of records. Think about the Cleveland Browns. They've been evaluating for the last 2 years. You know, which you see it's a turnstile of players
cyclical,
going in.
Yeah.
I know. So lots to talk about. And this game in particular was one that you think that you had a shot to win. They were 0-9, the San Francisco 49ers, and just offensively just had not done much all year, and they put up a good game yesterday.
Well, this was a team that was hurting and had its fair share of issues just as much as the Giants. But, you know, when you look at the box score and even with the eye test, Marquise Goodwin, 83-yard touchdown in which he beat Janoris Jenkins. Then Garrett Celek, you alluded to the tight end, where he was bumping off defenders, got a 47-yard score. They gave up a 40-yard pass to former Giants wide receiver Lewis Murphy. It wasn't a touchdown, but it helped move the chains. Kendrick Bourne had a 20-yard grab. So that's four pass plays, Jeff, in this game for 20 yards or more. Then you go to the rushing attack. Carlos Hyde had a 28-yard run. Matt Breida had a 33-yard rushing touchdown. And then if you even want to throw in Marquise Goodwin, had an 18-yard run. But we'll take that away. So that's six plays of 20 or more yards for a Niners team that had not been explosive, had struggled to put points on the board. And just going back to the defensive side of things, Jeff, and you hit on this, it's hard to grasp the fact that this was a defense that ranked in the top 10 last season and has really all of a sudden ended up on the opposite end of the spectrum. And what I think is interesting to note is, remember, this was a game yesterday, Jeff. Olivier Vernon returns after missing the last four games. Jonathan Casillas returns right after missing the last three games. Janoris Jenkins is back following a suspension. So the reason I'm bringing that up is you got back some of your key playmakers.
Well, you got back three starters.
Correct, which is important because, I mean, they had been shuffling personnel in and out from game to game. The only thing, though, at the same time is you then lose three linebackers, B.J. Goodson, Keenan Robinson, and Devon Kennard. And where did the Niners attack? With the tight end and the running backs, Jeff?
Right,
they attacked the middle of the field.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about a defense when we're segueing from the 2016 season to the 2017 season, that defensive unit, how prideful they were last year, how excited that team they were, because you know what? Last year, 11-5 was because of the defense. The offense only scored less than 20 points a game. That tells you their defense was prideful. Their defense was energetic. Their team opportunistic, as Lance likes to call
yes
it, and I pronounced it correctly.
Bingo.
For the first time.
Right on point.
Okay? That to me is that now, what is this defense? Are they prideful? Are they opportunistic? Are they an exciting group? I mean, what has happened to this defense? And when you talk about injuries, you hit the nail on the head. You got three starters that come back. Olivia Vernon gets his first career interception yesterday. You know, a lot of things that you could spark, and they actually, you know, they did it. They did. That's a huge play in a game. Okay. I don't think the offense, I don't know, play by play.
Well, they weren't able to capitalize on that, and that was a big issue.
And then when you're looking at, if you talk about big plays, and we're talking about six of them in this game, well, let's just rewind and go back 2 weeks ago to a Rams game. You talk about all the big plays in that game. Okay, so this Giants team is not only not performing, they're giving up big plays to opponents where their offense, they cannot put up those big plays anymore. So when you start giving these types of plays up and expecting your offense to come back no matter how good, listen, Eli Manning made a mistake yesterday with the fumble. The guy played pretty well. He played decently yesterday, okay? He continues to be very red hot in the red zone, something that something he has worked on going into the season. He has no interceptions, 10 touchdowns in the red zone. I think he's the number one rated passer in the National Football League in the red zone. Problem is the Giants don't get into the red zone enough to be that more opportunistic. Man, do I love that word today.
I can pronounce it.
And by the way,
three for three.
Yes. I wanted to ask Lance. So at the beginning of the program, you thought, how did you pronounce the stadium's name?
Levi Stadium.
Oh, you did say Levi.
Yes.
I thought you said Levy Stadium.
I did. Maybe I did. I mean, I didn't think I said it, but if I did, I stand corrected.
All right. Well,
yes.
Listen, if you see my hearing aids are out.
No, it's definitely Levi Stadium. If I butchered it off the top, maybe I did butcher it off the top. I didn't hear myself butcher it.
I just want to make sure it was called correctly.
Yes,
maybe,
okay.
Well, you may have been correct.
I don't recall butchering it, but if I did, I meant to say Levi Stadium.
Well, we're going to try to lose the word butchering because I think that could be a common word today. But we're going to stay away from there. And, you know, more importantly, we'll get to you guys' calls and things like this. But we got a lot to talk about, and I think that, you know, going forward, this Giants team is now going to run into a buzzsaw here this week coming up. They play the Kansas City Chiefs, another team that is just, I mean, this is not the San Francisco 49ers coming into MetLife Stadium this week.
Well, you're essentially going back in the direction of the Rams. See, in the span of 2 weeks, Jeff, they went up against the number one offense and then one of the worst offenses. Now, all of a sudden, you go back to the top. And then here's the other thing. We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but after the Chiefs, then it's the quick turnaround game.
Mm-hmm.
They play on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So this is two games in a very small period of time that they have to get prepared for, and it involves going from a home game also to a road game, so you'll lose that extra day to even prepare because you got to travel on Wednesday.
Right, it's a hurry-up Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, you basically get in here, do your stuff, and then you're down the road. Thank God it's only down to Washington, which is a close trip, but, you know, still the Giants, we talk about the schedule, they still have to go out to Oakland, they still have to go out to Phoenix, and, you know, those are long trips. I mean, I remember getting home from these away games on the West Coast. They're brutal. They are absolutely brutal, you know, and it's tough. You know, you always kind of look at the pilot when you come home to these games and you say, hey, do we have the tailwind? And can we get the plane up to 700 miles an hour when we usually fly 550? Let's go, man.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'll tell you what, I promise you it wasn't a very fun flight home. You could hear a pin drop on that plane, I'm sure.
Those are the quiet flights, absolutely. Yes. But your point is well taken in terms of travel is wearing. I mean, anybody who travels for work can tell you.
Yeah.
It wears on you.
No, there's no question. And, you know, you try not to use it as an excuse, but because everybody's got to do it. I mean, I remember when I was playing in Seattle, we had to travel around. I mean, we were the most traveled NFL franchise there was. And it does wear on you. It really does. Now, some of those teams that I played with when I was on the West Coast, Arizona and Seattle, we a lot of times would come out on a Friday, which helped a little bit. But I really didn't think it helped that much, you know. So, and I think you and I talked about this, you know, the cost of going out there early and things like that.
Pros and cons.
There is pros and cons of it. But the bottom line is that, you know, sleep is something that you and I and all of us need. And when you go on these way trips as far as they are and then coming back and especially coming back at a loss like this, you know, it's a lot easier to come into the facility when you've won on the road and you have a long trip like this. But when you have a season like the Giants are having now and you're losing games like they did yesterday, it certainly is not fun coming into this building after you've traveled across the country and then coming back and getting your butts whooped and coming back in here and have to look at the tape. I mean, there's a lot to be looked at here, a lot of stuff to be looked at on tape when it comes to breaking down this game as a coach and as players. You got to look at this and go, what are we doing?
Well, it's like quicksand, essentially, at this point,
in terms of things
unfortunately building upon and building upon one another. And, you know, before we open up the phone lines at 201-939-4513, thought Jonathan Casillas put things in perspective after the game, Jeff, and I'm paraphrasing him, but, you know, he spoke in great length to the reporters yesterday, and after a tough loss, it's always difficult to go out there.
Which, by the way, I respect the fact that he stands in front of his locker, and he takes the criticism just like anybody would stand in front of their locker if they're 9-1 right now or 8-1, whatever it is. It's a very difficult time to be able to stand up and talk to the press. There are certain people that didn't want to do that, and that's their prerogative. But, you know, as a player, you're expected to talk about the good and the bad, and he did it.
And you have to be consistent.
What did he say?
You have to be consistent. But the main point that he said was, I mean, he admitted that, you know, this defense is not producing as it should, and he said it's sad that they're at the point where they have to find a way to be competitive instead of talking about simply winning a game.
Mm. Mm.
Meaning finding a way to get the game to the fourth quarter, making the necessary stops, preaching the fundamentals, executing so that maybe it's a one-possession game late in the fourth quarter and you get the ball back to the offense and you have an opportunity to force overtime. But he says they're at the point where they're searching to make it competitive. And I thought that was interesting, especially with how the last two games, Jeff, for the most part, have gotten out of hand in terms of the disparity in the score, whereas what were we talking about leading up to the Rams game? We were talking about the record's not great, but you can't say that they were not in games.
Oh, yeah.
They were in just about every single game.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty telling that what he's – I think it's very – what's the word I'm looking for? That response is very thick.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot that goes into that response. And if you want to dissect it, and if he was here, you can ask him a little bit more questions what he meant by a lot of that. I think there's a lot of things that are in that response that he knows that we don't know that needs to be discussed in meeting rooms with the players only. I don't care what it is. Something's got to be done with these guys and getting in the locker room and saying enough is enough. Come on, man. We got to go. Got a great opportunity to go beat a team that nobody is expecting you to beat this week. And I know that it's only one more win, but I'm still waiting for this team to win a game and get a little bit of confidence and kind of resurrect the season, if you will, to make you feel better. But this is a very tough situation.
All right, let's open up the phone lines. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We kick things off with Chris in Syracuse. Chris, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing all right, Chris. What do you got for us?
Hi, Chris.
All right. So 300 days until we most likely go lose to Dallas on opening night primetime next year. But that's okay.
You're I've counting on that game,
that
are you?
How wow. We start yeah. every season. Wow. The sad thing is I've known that for the last 38 days because it's just been obvious that we were cooked for a while now. So I was just kind of looking ahead to next year, trying to figure out whoever the next GM is. I would be making a big run at Sean McDermott. So if you read between the lines there, I think we're going to have a new GM and a new coach coming in next year. My question for you guys is, where do you guys see this whole thing going with Eli? A lot of talk there. And for me, number one, it's just completely disheartening to see that this is kind of how the tail end of his career is going in New York. It's just a real disappointment. But I'm telling you, the one thing I may be considering on doing, and, you know, this is kind of off the wall, I'd be looking maybe at Odell before I'd be looking to offload Eli, because I think you can get probably a good quarterback high in the draft or see what you got with Davis Webb. I don't think that you need this dominant receiver so much as I think you get more for Odell, and I think that you can have a functioning offense with players that aren't quite to his caliber, even though I do think he is a phenomenal player. So I don't know what your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, I think a lot is going to depend on how this season plays out and where they get their draft selection, because depending on where they get their draft selection, Chris, you can address, number one, some issues with that pick. You can move down to get a boatload of picks and then address a numerous amount of issues without necessarily worrying about unloading or speculating about trading your own star players at this point. So, I mean, I think a lot depends on where they end up finishing the season record-wise, because, I mean, if you get a top-three pick, Jeff, you know, you have some flexibility to either use the pick or move down. And, I mean, you could get two to three additional picks on top of that. And in one draft alone, you could address a variety of different positions.
Well, I think it all depends on exactly what you said. I think there's two sides of the story here. So if you're going to trade down, obviously you're not going to take a quarterback, most likely. Or maybe there is a guy that drops down, you know, maybe four or five picks underneath that you could still get him. But in my opinion, you know, I think that the value for Odell Beckham certainly will always be there in the next year or two. But the fact is, do you really want to get rid of your best player on offense if you are going to draft a new quarterback? I mean, I would want that new quarterback to start to get a little bit of symmetry and a little bit of comfortability with Odell Beckham. I mean, anyone's going to tell you that if they're going to trade Odell Beckham, they would get a buttload of stuff for him. But I don't know how you're going to trade who's your best player on the team unless you go in a totally different direction. Now, the quarterback thing with Eli is that he's not going anywhere, folks. I mean, the guy has a no-trade clause. He's gonna play out the rest of the season, and then the Giants organization is going to make a decision on what direction they want to go depending on where they're going to be sitting in the draft. So, you know, but the fact is that Odell is a guy, I believe, in my opinion, I would keep him and definitely keep him because he's got so much upside. And if you're going to go with the quarterback, I certainly would keep him.
Well, and that's why I go back to it depends on where they have to draft.
Exactly. Because we'll let you continue in a second,
Chris, because to your point, Jeff, if you get a high draft pick and you could turn that into a variety of different picks, the whole point of trading or speculating to trade somebody like Odell Beckham would be to get something in return that you could then utilize.
Yeah.
But if you're already doing that with your draft position, to me it defeats the purpose of parting ways with a notable player. That's why I said you got to wait and see where you end up. If you wind up ending up in the middle of the pack, then I think maybe you start to explore other options. If you end up near the top of the draft, you're in a good position to obviously capitalize in that situation.
Chris?
What have you got, Chris?
Those are obviously like really good points, and you know, Odell is a fantastic player, so you do have to see where you wind up in the draft. But I guess the point being is that I just don't think that the value if we were going to go in a different direction, I don't know that the value for Eli at this point is what it would be there. And my whole reason for saying go with McDermott is because I think that you can scheme around a whole lot better than what we've been doing. I was kind of excited when the season was lost to see what McAdoo would do, and if we close this thing out and say, oh wow, like, you know, this guy can really coach and everything. But I've seen enough at this point. So what I'm getting at is I don't know if you necessarily need a dominant receiver, and I don't know if a new quarterback would need that. I would think that a new quarterback would benefit greatly from a power running game, having more protection on the offensive line and a scheme that functions versus a guy who is an extraordinary player, a dominant player, but it seems like we have to scheme around him. He gets really upset if he doesn't get the ball.
Chris, in the NFL, you need a combination, and appreciate the phone call, of a dynamic wide receiver as well as a strong running game. I don't think you get to pick between the two because good teams are balanced teams. So I would argue there's a great deal of value for Beckham because when he's in the game, all of a sudden he draws double teams, and it can very well open up the running game or open up other opportunities for the receivers. So there's value to having both facets as a part of your team. Just real quickly on the Sean McDermott front, which I know he threw out. Number one, he was just hired as the Buffalo Bills head coach.
Well, that's why I scratched my head. Yeah. Is there another Sean McDermott?
I don't believe he was referring to another McDermott. No other McDermott comes to mind, and I know this is the game of speculation, but first of all, if you even wanted to talk about another coach, you would have to give up draft picks and all other types of things in order to even talk or even speculate about going there. So I think we're getting way ahead of ourselves even bringing up somebody's name like that, considering he was just hired. He's trying to turn things around in Buffalo, and he has say in front office matters because he brought in Brandon Bean from the Carolina Panthers, and they were together because McDermott was the DC. So I think that's a completely unrealistic person to be even speculating about at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the only time – that a head coach has ever been dealt away or things like that was with what's his name, right? It wasn't with the Jets and
Pete Carroll, Belichick?
Yeah, Pete Carroll, Belichick. That was kind of, you know, but I...
Yeah, it's very rare, and those are decisions that are going to be made well in the offseason. I mean, as far as, you know, like we said, talking about the draft, you got to wait and see where this team ends up. But, I mean, Jeff, I think it's easy when Odell Beckham is hurt for the conversation to begin, well, he's not nearly that valuable anymore, right? I think it's easy to have that conversation because he hasn't been on the field since he went down. But notice that, you know, the passing game has taken a hit.
Oh, well, let's when he's healthy and he's on the field, this offense produces, okay? I mean, and when you look at Odell Beckham when he got hurt, you know, did he come back too early and he got re-injured, things like that? He really has not been 100% the whole season. Then he went on IR. When Odell Beckham is in this offense, there's a big difference. There's a huge difference because of the things that you alluded to. And really, I think that the Giants' running game, I think they found a back with Orleans Darkwa. Okay, the guy has basically went into the starting lineup and has proved that he can be a good runner. I mean, he averaged 5 yards a carry yesterday, had a long of 20-yard run. He only got the ball 14 times in 60 minutes. But I think, you know, collectively you've been seeing him, how he's getting better and better and better, and a guy that you can believe in the future with him, you know. So I think that – and listen, let's talk a little bit about Gallman. He's still a rookie this year. So – and I like Wayne Gallman, the way he runs, and I think they're a good complement for each other. Not even mentioning Paul Perkins. I mean, here we are 8-9 weeks ago when he was the starter, and now we don't even see him touching the ball. You know?
Well, and that's what happens with injuries. Guys emerge, they take advantage. But
sure,
what you pointed out, Jeff, and you hinted at this a little bit earlier, but you know, it may be hard to talk about the positives after a loss like that yesterday, but there were two things in yesterday's game that I think get overshadowed. You hit on the first one, the running game. It's now four of the last five games the Giants have run for over 100 yards. So for us to continue to throw out that, you know, the Giants don't have a running game. No, they have a running game. It's just has not, unfortunately, benefited them because it hasn't led to W's. But they've been productive on the ground in a number of the previous games. The second facet is, you know, Evan Engram continues to find the end zone and continues to be a huge focal point to this offense and somebody that builds chemistry with Eli Manning. And that's not just a flash anymore, Jeff. It's happening every single game.
Every game, and people know about it, and he just continues to grow. I think he's also growing as a player with his hand in the dirt. I saw a couple good blocks yesterday on some of these runs. And so, you know, that's just a position that over time he's going to get better and better at. We know he's not a blocking tight end. He just has to improve some of his skills. I think he's doing that. I agree with you. When I look at these guys, I look at Orleans Darkwa, I look at Wayne Gallman, I look at Evan Engram. These are three young football players, okay? We're not talking about veterans that all of a sudden they've resurfaced. Oh, my God, look at this guy playing again. These are young football guys that are certainly going to be a part of this team next year. I will tell you that the running game, ever since DJ Fluker has been inserted into the lineup, the running game has gotten better and better. Now, if this running game was there earlier in the season when Eli had all the receivers at his disposal, we're talking about a whole different complement of an offense here. But, you know, just 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago removed, the Giants had no receivers. Sterling Shepard goes out for a couple weeks. So you look at how Sterling Shepard can be inserted into this offense as a number one guy now, which he is. I mean, yesterday he had 142 yards receiving. The one thing that really gets me with this, he was targeted 13 times with 11 receptions, okay? That's good out of both Eli and Sterling Shepard.
And he made some great catches.
Oh, his amazing catches. Yeah. So the ability is there with this young man. And then that with Odell Beckham. You know, when I look at the offense, I don't look at this offense as a team, an offense that's getting worse by the day. I think the offensive line is playing better. I mean, you go back for all the Pro Football Focus people that love to look at that site and go look at Eric Flowers and his production over the last 4 or 5 weeks. He's been one of the better offensive linemen and giving up sacks and pressures. He has gotten better. Not to the point, I'm sure, that everybody agrees that he's the best now. Okay, but the fact is the point, it's going up for him. Okay, that offensive line, been, you know, Richburg is out of the lineup. They're seeing what Jones can do. So there's a little things like that. I'm trying to, if you can see what I'm doing, Lance, I'm trying to take a little positives out of such a just a dismal season. I'm failing to go to the defense because I don't know where I can go over there to really see a lot of production and young guys that are that I can see going forward. This team should be much better defensively than they are right now. I don't have an answer for it. I really do not have a definitive answer for to pinpoint why. I'm not the only one. I could tell you that. There's a lot of people scratching their head because I stay on the offense.
Well, because like you said, with the offense, there has been some progress even after they lost all of those receivers, whereas the defense, you know, we talked about when you look at the Rams game versus the Niners game, a lot of similarities, a lot of similar issues, a lot of similar breakdowns, so that's why it's hard to perhaps pick out some of the bright spots. Let's head back to the lines. Ty is in Maryland. Ty, what's happening?
Hi, Ty.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Afternoon.
What do you got, Ty?
All right, yeah, let's not talk about the defense today, please.
Okay.
Okay, so two questions, actually. First, maybe a little sarcastic, but are we as Giants fans going to have to endure the next 7 games of this? You guys don't have to answer that question right now. I just want to get my second question through because I know you got more callers in. So the second question that I want to bring to you guys is, do we have, as you, Lance Meadow, put earlier this season, a big enough sample size to say whether or not our head coach is fit to, in fact, be the head coach? Because, man, stick with me, guys. I don't want to dog him. I'm not trying to disrespect him or, you know, call him out his name or anything because he was a quarterback coach in Green Bay. Looking back at his coaching pedigree, he was a quarterback coach in Green Bay. He was able to gel with Aaron Rodgers. And when he was brought to the Giants organization, I thought to myself, he gelled with Aaron Rodgers, so there shouldn't be any reason why he shouldn't gel with Eli Manning. And to his credit, he did. Since Ben McAdoo has been in the Giants organization, Eli Manning's completion percentage as well as overall QB rating has increased. And let's clap it up for that. But looking at his overall portrait of his coaching here at the Giants organization, you know, observing everything, I can honestly say that Eli Manning's completion percentage as well as overall QB rating is pretty much the only thing that the head coach has contributed to the Giants. And once again, I'm not bad-mouthing the head coach. It's just that in Green Bay, he was a quarterback's coach. And when he came to the Giants, I didn't understand the, for lack of better terms, christening of him being the head coach, especially over Spagnuolo, who has been here and who has won an NFL championship.
Well, but Ty, remember, let me just jump in here. I mean, he was the tight ends coach and he was the quarterbacks coach in Green Bay. He was there for quite some time under Mike McCarthy. And then, you know, I mean, I know you're probably aware of this, but maybe you just didn't mention it. He was the offensive coordinator here for the Giants, too, before he was elevated to head coach. And he was here for 2 seasons. And I think there's a little bit more than Eli's completion percentage and quarterback rating that showed improvement. I mean, in 14 and 15, Jeff, when he was the OC, the offense took steps forward. In terms of putting points on the board, that was not necessarily a problem. So I think there's a little bit more to his contributions, Ty, in fairness, if you look at things from a big picture perspective, than just Eli's improvement.
Okay. Well, and you guys, both you and Jeff Eagles, what's up, Jeff, by the way?
Hi, Ty.
I wanted to ask you guys, in your honest opinion, not just as analysts, but as fans of the football game, I wanted to ask you guys, do you think we have a big enough sample size to say whether or not he is, you know, fit to be the head coach or not. I don't want to get you guys, you know, in trouble or anything. I know you can only say but so much, but I wanted to get your honest opinion in the overall state of the Giants organization, from the GM all the way down to the players. I just want to know what's next for us.
Well, I'll answer that. I sample size is kind of, you know, to what a sample size to you is and what a sample size to me or Lance or someone else for that matter. It's a number that we just have to put out there. But when you got 16 games last year, 11-5 record, and now you got the games this year, I think there's enough there that you can understand from a coaching perspective of how the head coach is running a football team. And I think that when you ask yourself, you know, the coaches coach and the players play. I don't think all of this can be put, although he's the head coach, so most of it is put on the head coach, and he should accept the blame for everything because it starts with the head coach. But I don't think you can blame everything on this coaching staff and Ben McAdoo. You got to look at inside the locker room, and a lot of us can't get in there. But I've been there, and I can tell you that you got to look at what the players are doing from Monday to Sunday. Okay, and then when they go on that field, they have to be held accountable for how they're playing. I can give every play is designed to work. 100% of the plays are designed to work. They have to be executed, and they have to be run correctly. So I can give you a game plan here, Ty, and say this is how we've scouted it, and these coaches put a lot of hours and time into doing it. The players have to play. They got to play better. They've got to study better. They've got to do things better. So I think a sample size there's enough there, okay? And there's enough there to maybe make a decision, yay or nay or whatever you want to say. But I still think that these players are the problem. These guys have to play better. I mean, the plays are called or this or that. But come on. I mean, let's not – this isn't all Ben McAdoo here. This is the – these guys are getting
– I'm not just blaming Ben McAdoo because I don't know what planet Janoris Jenkins was on yesterday. I'm not just blaming Ben McAdoo. I'm not just blaming Jerry Reese. The players, like you said, the players play. I've played the game on all levels except the NFL. I've played the game.
Well, you played enough football to know that when a coach tells you this is the play you're going to run effectively, do it.
Yeah, you still got to go out and execute it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I agree. Well, thank you guys for the call.
You're welcome, Ty. Thanks for calling in, as always. We appreciate your call, even on these tough days. That's why Lance and I are here on Mondays, because we can handle those tough questions.
Indeed, that's right. We have enough durability to go through this. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Lance Beddoe, Jeff Eagles with you here Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, recapping the Giants' 31-21 loss to the Niners. Don is in Connecticut. Don, what's happening?
What's up, Donnie?
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Doing all right, Don. What do you got for us?
Well, I've been a fan of the Giants since 1956. I've been watching them for a long time, and I've rarely seen this, you know, poor efforts on the part of New York Giants, you know, with the pride they've had all over the years. And it was just a hard game to watch, especially the New York Giants secondary. I don't want to pick any one player, but Jenkins and Apple seem to stand out for their poor play. And, you know, for a fan, I've never played the game, but I'm sure a big fan of it, and I love the Giants. But watching a player chase a member of the secondary chasing a receiver down the field and they're close to him, and they don't make the effort to tackle. They don't end up putting their face in the grass, even if they have to do that and miss. At least they made the effort. I didn't see that out of the secondary. It was hard to watch. It's almost like you're embarrassed by it. I was thinking most of the way through the game, geez, I wish Heidi would show up and interrupt this game. It was so bad, you know, to watch the defense. And I just was interested in your comments about that poor level of effort from the secondary. Those guys are paid a lot of money. How can they do that?
I don't, like I said before, I don't have an answer to it. I will tell you that, you know, what you see is what you see. And, you know, you really, we're not trying to trick people here by putting something on that's really not happening. You are seeing it. And I think from a true fan's perspective, like yourself, when you turn on and you have seen guys play at a level like they did last year, Those guys were flying around, and, you know, they were a very prideful unit, like I had mentioned. They were one of the top defensive backfields in the field. And in the game, when you're going into this season thinking we legitimately have three cornerbacks on this roster, with DRC and Jack Rabbit and Eli Apple being the young guy, but certainly with DRC and Jenkins. I mean, these guys are all pros. They've made the Pro Bowl. And so how they can go out and put that out on the field, that's on them. And you know, I don't know. I don't have anything else to tell you other than your own two eyes aren't lying to you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I hope it improves next week. And just wanted to say I really enjoy your show, watching you guys. I even do it in the summer sometimes.
Well, appreciate that, Tom.
It's very good. Thanks a lot.
Well, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate that. 201-939-4513. Let's hear from Joey in New Jersey. Joey, what's happening?
Hey, not Joey, Billy.
Billy, okay. My apologies, Billy. How's everything?
Okay. I'm good, man. After seeing that horrible game yesterday, I'm good. Hey, Jeff, how are you, man?
Listen, I'm good. You know, this is a tough day for every Giants fan there is, but, you know, other than that, I've walked in here. I'm talking to you, so I got no complaints.
And the Hurricanes won, too, so let's not
overlook
that.
Yeah, and I didn't even talk about that.
Come on, Jeff. Don't hold back. Miami is on cloud nine right now.
We will have a small little section before we leave this broadcast today
yes,
to talk about the number two Miami Hurricanes. That's for sure.
So what do you got for us, Billy?
Yeah, hey, Jeff, thank you for your contribution with the Giants, man. I thought you were a great player.
As always, I appreciate that.
All right.
Go ahead, my man.
Yeah, I was listening to the post show with Sean O'Hara. I can't think of the other guy, the wide receiver.
Amani Toomer.
Hey, those guys tell it like it is without really upsetting the organization. I mean, you can't get upset with what they say. Sean was speaking mostly about the offense. The Renegades looked awesome. I tell you no lie. I thought we were going to do something. And then he was saying how early in Dorfman should have had the ball at least 30 times. At least. He said he watched the Cardinals game and how Adrian Peterson ran all over the Cardinals. And they gave him the ball like 30 times. And Arlene Darkwell only got the ball 14 times. They couldn't stop this guy, man. And I also have a couple of questions for you, Jeff. How do you explain all these pro players, these all-pro players, just whiffing at these tackles and everything? And also, can you explain if B.J. Goodson is really being missed as much as it looks? Because I'm looking at the game, man, and from my observation, it really looks like these players are completely quit on Ben McAdoo. I may be wrong. I know you guys can't say what we say. You have to be very careful because I don't want you to lose your job. But I know what I see. I know football. I know what I see. These are all pro players. It's the same guys that was flying around last year, like you all said, sticking their head in the dirt. They're not doing this year. And I think something is going on in the locker room. I really do believe that. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think I said it earlier. I think that what you're seeing is what you're seeing. And, you know, your analysis is just as good as the other people when you're watching a football game when it comes to effort. And when you see guys that are making plays when you think they should, they're out of position, things like that, I don't have the answer to it because it's very difficult for me to watch when these guys are getting paid to play a game and go out there and do what they're doing. There's no answer to it. But I tell you what, it's got to get fixed. And it comes down to self-discipline and the way that you want to be perceived. And all I know is that if you're a guy that's getting paid in this league and you're going to go out and play on Sunday for 16 weeks, you got to give 100 max effort every single time you're on the field. And that's to be judged by the fans and by the organization and, most importantly, by the coach and the GM. And if you're not doing it, then you shouldn't be on the field.
Yeah, I got one more thing. Hey, I watched the post-game interview with McAdoo in the media. Hey, man, this guy does not like to be questioned. And to be honest with you, I think the New York media has been kind of lightly on him. I really do. But he gets very sarcastic with them when it even seems like they want to ask him a question. He can't get upset with the media. They got a job to do. And they're really not harassing him. They've been very professional with it. Because if it was me, I would drop the hammer on him. I ain't going to tell you no lie. I would. But, man, hey, the guy gets nasty.
Yeah.
But and another thing, my last thing. It looks like when things don't go right, he forget how to coach. I mean, you got all you got. Let the guy run the ball. Let him run the ball. Everything was working yesterday. And from my point of view, it seemed like the 49ers realized, hey, we can beat these guys, because they didn't look that good at first. Then they realized, hey, they're not changing up anything. The offense was very vanilla, and then they just started to do their thing. All right, I'll take your comments and everything off the air. Thanks for taking
well, we
call.
Appreciate it. As
Billy,
always, calling
appreciate
in.
The call.
The running game, when you fall behind, you got to start throwing
the football. That's what I was just going to point out.
But, you know, there are some – I'm sure that, you know, of the total 23 rushes that they had, and Darko having 14 of them, yeah, would you have liked to see maybe Darko with 20 or 21 of those, and then maybe get that rushing up to 30-something attempts? If you're in a game and you can do that, that's fine. But, you know, when you're falling behind and you're forced to throw the football, and also, you know, converting on third downs. The Giants were, I think they were 30% on third downs yesterday. And
5 of 14.
5 of 14. So, I mean, listen, that's 38%, by the way, right?
Right? I leave you to the math.
36%.
When it comes to that.
Close, 36%, okay? but, you know, yeah, you like to run the football. There were some opportunities in the passing game that most likely the coaches saw and that were trying to expose it. But, it's a difficult situation when you're playing from behind. Your game plan changes.
Well, that's certainly a part of it. But let's even go back to here. I have the game log. So this is early, midway through the third quarter.
Okay, score?
17-13. Okay. Niners are up by 4. You're still in position to run the football,
midway,
Jeff, right?
Yeah, you got basically maybe, what, now 20 minutes left, 22 minutes left in the game?
So still more than enough substance here to
run the football.
Run the football. Okay, so let's look through this. And the reason why I would bring this up is because I agree, Darko was running the ball effectively, but you can't just look at a box score and say, he ran for 5 yards per carry, only got 14 carries. What were they thinking? You got to look at what happened during
on
the game.
On first and second down.
Correct. So Darko, first down, he runs for 18. Okay, so they get the first down. What happens on the next play, Jeff? Eli Manning sacked, loses 6 yards. So now you go from a first and 10 to a second and 16. So they run Darko again. He picks up 5 yards. But you're third and 11. You're not going to run Darko on third and 11.
Okay.
And you get a false start penalty against Fluker. Now you're third and 16. Okay. It's still a throwing situation, no matter how you look at it. Okay, they were forced to punt. Next possession. Now it's 24-13. So now the lead is getting a little bit more larger. So they come out, they take over at their own 25. You're in clearly more of a throw now mode, even though this is right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So they throw it to Engram for no gain on first down. They come back, they run with Gallman for 15 on second down. What happens? Jarrell Adams is called for a holding penalty. Second and 10 becomes second and 20. Second and 20 now, Jeff, you're in the throw motion, right? So Manning throws to Shepard for 7, third and 13, incompletion, they're forced to punt.
All right, so two things real quickly.
Yeah.
Both of those drives, okay, you're in third and longs, and both of those drives you committed penalties to put you in those situations
exactly.
Not to be able to run the ball. That's discipline.
That is discipline, but it goes back to the box score with Orleans Darkwood getting 14 carries doesn't tell you that.
No, it does
That's
not.
That's my point. So yep. I agree with the fan perception they should run the football, no doubt. But you got to go back to how those drives played out. Third and 13 does not call for a run.
Third and
11. Second and 20 does not call for a run.
Third and 11 doesn't call for a run.
So, once again, it doesn't tell the whole story. And then it's 31-13 because the Niners kept scoring touchdowns.
Definitely in a throw mode.
I mean, what are you going to do at this point?
Yeah.
You're going to throw the football. So the second half did not play out for the run to be a heavy emphasis.
And I think that if you're into the fourth quarter and you're a 17-13 game, then the narrative changes a little bit.
You have options.
But when you are now forced into those third and long situations because you have penalties and sacks, that's football. I mean, I don't know who's the – even if Tony Dorsett's back there or, you know, Dickerson, if you're third and 11, you're throwing the football.
So Jim Brown could be back there.
It's
same
know.
Thing. You can name every running back that ever played in the NFL.
I think it's a great point you bring up, and that sometimes you just can't look at the stats on the sheet and without knowing the whole situation and down and distance and, you know, what the score is and where you are in the football game. You just can't say, hey, we're running the football 5 yards an average. We got to keep running the ball. Well, you know what? You can't jump off sides. You can't give up a sack.
You can't put mistakes
in third and long situations. I can promise you this. If you're third and three or third and four, you know what? You might see a run in there, okay? You might see a run in there, but when you're third and 11 and 13 and second and 20, those are not running plays, definitely.
See, the Giants only had 4 penalties in yesterday's game, but the penalties came at critical times,
I'd argue. Well, the penalties all year have come
at critical times. Specifically in yesterday. I mean, we just went through the Fluker false start. The Jarrell Adams holding cost them on two productive runs.
Yeah, and I'm going way back in the season against the Philadelphia game. Remember
another one, yes. I mean, in the red zone, special teams, no doubt. That's been a theme, too. But I guess here's why I'm saying the box score doesn't tell everything, because you look at four penalties, and you're like, yeah, four penalties is not a big deal.
Pretty good game.
But when did the four penalties come? You peel back the layers, you realize they were costly.
And just so you know, folks, you know, from being a player and understanding what where the team comes from as far as the coaches, six is the number. They want three offensive penalties, two they don't want
in terms
them.
Of the allowance,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah. And one special teams, two on defense, three on offense. That's kind of the number you shoot for,
six
or less. So when you hit, when you see four, you say, oh, wow, that's, man, they played good. Yeah, check that box. But of the four penalties, when you look through the drive starts and where they're at, the charts, they came at critical positions of the game.
And that's sometimes what the statistic alone doesn't tell. All right, we got a lot of guys and gals on the line. I want to open up the phone
right
lines
through.
Again. Yep, Drew is in Virginia. Drew, what's happening? How we doing, Drew?
Hey, Lance, how you guys
what's up,
doing
Drew?
Today?
Drew,
doing
we
right,
gotta
Drew.
Get, we got to get through
yeah,
four callers.
What do you got for us?
Like to get everybody
man,
in.
You know, I understand that, man. I'm going to try to get through my games.
I appreciate it.
I always get rushed off, so, yeah, bear with me.
You got a call earlier.
really,
I'm just kidding you.
You're going to go there?
Okay. I'm just
He's just messing
you.
With you, Drew. He's
I,
just
Drew,
messing
I'm
with
just
you.
Kidding
so,
you.
So what do you got?
But at any rate, man, the bad thing about going to the end is a lot of your questions get asked. But I just want to say this, man. I didn't see the game yesterday, obviously, but I did listen to it on the Giants show. I can tell you right now, Carl Banks was just livid with some of the defensive calls out there, especially the touchdown just before the end of the half, where he was just livid at how in God's green creation we could be in a man-to-man defense. Do you have anything to say? What do you have to say about that?
You talk about when Garrett Celek scored that touchdown. That's, I'm
just
assuming,
the end of the half.
The drive that you're referring to.
Yeah.
Well, on the Janoris Jenkins, Marquise Goodwin play, that was cover zero as well.
No
and
safety.
I know Carl Banks talked about this on the broadcast, too, that Drew is referring to. And that was just a one-on-one situation, Jeff, and Goodwin got the better of him.
I'll tell you, that situation was zero coverage, no safety. You have Janoris Jenkins on a guy. You trust Janoris Jenkins. He's an all-pro
cornerback. Yeah.
Enough said. Okay, you trust that a guy can be one-on-one with your best cornerback. He is the best cornerback with a receiver who's not one of the best in the league. I'm putting my faith in that player to cover with zero coverage. Didn't get it done.
Okay, so you don't think that the coverage was wrong? Because his whole point is, why are you playing the coverage like that given the situation?
Well, no, that was not the same situation that you had just mentioned. The other one before the half ended is what your question was.
Yeah, but the Celek one, I was bringing up in a different play.
Right, I'm talking specifically the play before the half where the Giants was up and they gave up that touchdown. Where everybody was like, okay, the Giants ain't going to give up the touchdown, blah, blah, blah. You know, nobody's thinking the Giants is going to give up the touchdown. And because of bad defensive calls is what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's
Drew.
The play I'm talking about. I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of plays throughout the game, but I'm talking about specifically
of
that
course.
Play, that area.
And I will tell you this. Like a lot of times when we don't know the call, that the, offensively and defensively, was the coverage changed? Okay, was it coverage change? Was it called the zone on when it was into the game? Did they go to a different personnel where they had to change it up to man-on-man? We don't know that. Just like on offense when there's a play called in Eli's helmet and he changes the protection into play at the line of scrimmage and he gives up he throws a pick six. We don't know what the call was. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer for that. In my opinion, you play zone defense there. You give them the middle of the field and you keep them from scoring. So I don't know what happened there. But I think that Carl was upset at the play and he should be if they're in man coverage. That's not the coverage to play there. So I don't know how it was changed or it was called.
Okay, right. And that's all I'm asking, man.
Yeah, sure.
I'm with you, man.
Go zone coverage there. Keep everybody in front of you and don't give up the play.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Carl was livid on that call right there. And then, Jeff, you know, because I know you guys got a lot of calls, man. You know, just overall, Jeff, and I know, again, you're a player, you know, you're a former player. how does the team go from here, man? I mean, you know, what does the team do? You're losing. I don't mean no harm, but it kind of seems like, you know, to the fan and to a lot of people, okay, that the Giants are just not putting out max 100%. Now, I know these guys are playing for their career, but if you're on that team, you know, what are you saying, man? And, you know, with that, one other thing I'm going to say, just before you
real
ask
quick,
my question,
yeah.
Jeff, let me just say this to Lance. Hey, man, the other day when I called and I was talking about bad product on the football team, or, you know, bad product in the NFL, let me just be clear. Parity was not in the mix. I'm keenly aware of parity. Whether these teams are going to be 1-10 or whatever, somebody's going. The same teams, personally, in my opinion, are still going to make the playoffs. But I'm talking about the product is just bad in general, and it has nothing to do with parity. But at any rate, I just want to clear that up with you, Lance. But going back to Jeff, yeah, Jeff, can you answer my question? And I'll take
well,
that
I'll tell you, it's, it. Well, the truth is, it's bad parity. There's a lot of bad parity out there. What do the players do? You got to look yourself in the mirror. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, am I? Forget about everyone else. This is about you. This is about how you're playing the game. This is how you prepare individually. You look yourself in the mirror. All I know is this, Drew. When you come out of the game on Sunday, win or lose, you want to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I played the best I could play. When you look yourself in the mirror and go, you know what? I gave up 3 or 4 plays because I didn't care or there wasn't max effort. That's the problem. Okay, so I never want to come out of a game saying that I didn't give max effort, I didn't give max preparation, because I never want anybody to call me out on the carpet and say, you're laxing, you're not doing this and that. So that's my answer. Everyone's got to look themselves in the mirror and ask themselves, are you giving 100% effort? Are you giving 100% preparation? Are you into winning? Are you trying to win? It all comes down to one person, yourself. Okay, and don't blame anybody else. You got to blame yourself before you blame anybody else.
And, Drew, listen, we appreciate the phone call. Want to get to a few more before
Thanks,
we wrap
Drew.
Things up here. Certainly appreciate you weighing in. Ken is in Jersey. Ken, what's happening?
Hey, fellas, how are we doing today?
Doing all right, Ken. What do you got for us?
Good. I'll make it quick. Ben McAdoo is Emilio Estevez in the Mighty Ducks 2. Slick back hair and the team hates him. last week,
interesting
last week,
parallel.
I called in and I said – I'm not calling for anybody's job, but if we lose to the San Francisco 49ers, I am. And we lost, and not only did we lose, we got blown out. That final score was 31-13. That garbage time touchdown don't mean nothing to me. Flat out, our worst positions drafted since Jerry Reese has been here has been offensive line and linebacker. We can't seem to keep a middle linebacker healthy to save our lives. I can't even remember the last time we had a middle linebacker start all 6 games and be healthy all year. Even though it happened last year with the guy that started yesterday, that was weird. and we still haven't had consistency at both of those positions. So whoever the new GM is, which I'll tell you who I want it to be, I want them to draft good linebackers and good offensive linemen. I know they're hard to come by, but it's time to figure out a way to get them in here. I believe it's disgusting what they did to Eli Manning at the end of his career. I believe that if he had protection, he could have at least went to an NFC championship game, if not won another Super Bowl. But that's besides the point. The point is, we do not play Giants football anymore. Giants football is run hard, play good defense. We have not been able to run the ball for as long as I can remember, and McAdoo gives up on it whenever, even if it's going good, he gives up on it. Third and 2, pass play. I mean, come on, give me a break. Yesterday when they went 3 runs, that was great. I loved it, but they went away from it after that.
And we went over that.
Well,
earlier,
and yeah, we went over that in the second half, why they did get away from the run.
Yeah, I understand they were down. They needed to put points on the board. But, I mean, if something's working, let's let it work. Let's stop getting away from it. We couldn't run the ball when Odell Beckham Jr. was on the field because we decided to leave DJ Fluker on the bench. Now we can run the ball after we lose all of our wide receivers because we put DJ Fluker in. And my candidate for either GM or head coaching job, I don't care which one it is Peyton Manning. I seen that picture of him and his brother yesterday. I thought it was great. I said, you know what? Maybe they could work together. That's all I got, guys.
All right, Ken. Appreciate the phone call. Let's hear from Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, like Jeff's saying, the biggest thing, everybody's coming on McAdoo, but, you
mean, I can understand the problems with the offense, but it is definitely the defense that's really puzzling. And I know Spags didn't forget how to coach. He took us to a Super Bowl there. I know where he came up under Jimmy Johnson. And I really have to point what's going on with the defense, and that's what's really letting us down. I know there's injuries there now, and all I can say is coming up with, you know what I mean, looking ahead there, it is toward the draft there. If we get a chance at a young quarterback, I guess we have to take him high. If not, we got to load up because we have plenty of skill position people. We got to load up on the offense, defensive lines, and linebackers, and that's all. And I'm hoping still we can get together and so I can put some of these Eagle fans in their place in my area, you know what I mean, and come up with a game there. Yet, you know, maybe even against some of these other teams, maybe we'll come together. Yeah, it just the defense is so puzzling. Like I said, Spags knows how to coach, and we have
exactly.
veteran players there.
Yeah.
That's what's so puzzling, you know. This weekend, I think it was the cornerbacks. Last weekend, I think it was the safeties. Maybe they're trying to do too much and getting behind with these big plays. So we just got to, you know what I mean? I'm a diehard Giant fan and hang in there. And
listen, Joe, you know, at this point in the season, thank you.
Miami team there,
thank
you know what I mean? I have some relations that are big Miami fans down there, your team too.
Very good.
So I mean, we need all something to once in a while.
Exactly.
We just get
it's
away
definitely
from
keeping me sane
right
this year. It is definitely keeping me sane this year, Joe. And we appreciate
yeah,
the call.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call.
I think that you know at this point when Joe is saying you know those Eagles fans, they, you know if you're a Giants player, you want to play the spoiler at this point in time. You got you know you're not going to make the playoffs, but you certainly would love to beat a team to keep them out of the playoffs. There's a little motivation if you want something.
Of
you know?
Course, yeah. You might as well prevent somebody else
yeah.
from enjoying the postseason. Yeah. And listen, division games, no matter what the records are, they tend to play out very weird because
they
sometimes
got plenty
you
of
just,
them left.
Yeah, and they got a few. So, I mean, as far as how the rest of the season plays out, I go back to what Jonathan Casillas also said when I was referring to his commentary. He said everybody's got to essentially look at themselves in the mirror and start playing for themselves and playing
yeah.
for their reputation.
Yep.
That's what he said, if you want to look for motivation for the rest of the season.
I do not have to say another word. After
I mean,
that's
basically what he said.
Kind of what I was alluding to. Yeah. Just,
yeah.
You know, that. Listen,
I mean, throw everything out.
You are held accountable.
There
and,
you go.
And so at the end of the day, when it comes to that exit interview at the end of the season, and if you're going to be in the plans, then you obviously got to put something on tape to show the team that you care. And these are tough times. And this is when character and attitude and preparation, all that stuff rises to the top. And the guys that do it will be around. The guys that don't, they won't.
Dave is in White Plains. Dave, you got the final word. What do you got?
Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Jeff? What's up, guys? Listen, I agree with Jeff about that, trying to ruin everybody else's chances.
Yeah, you might as well, right? What else you got?
and another thing, I'm just going to say this. Last year, the defense, like, and this year also, it seems like they used to be on the field a lot longer than that offense. And it's beginning to look like pretty much like that defense said, you know what, it's time for you guys to start putting in some work. Because last year they were good, and I know the talent that they played wasn't up to par as far as a lot of these sports commentators are saying. But it's just beginning to look like, as a fan, I'm just beginning to look at it like there's a little problem in there, and there's a little problem to the point where the defense and the offense are kind of not meeting eye to eye anymore.
Well, I will tell you this from experience, being on teams when the finger pointing starts going, That's a slippery slope right there, you know. And whether they're doing it intentionally, I don't know. But you can point fingers as a fan and say this, this, and this. But when you start seeing guys pointing fingers in the locker room and you're starting to hear it in the press and you're seeing it on the sidelines and all that stuff goes into losing teams. And that's what losing teams do. They start blaming everybody else rather than taking the blame themselves and just trying to get it done. And, you know, you talk about leadership and all that stuff that goes into building a football team. This is when that stuff has to come to the forefront, when your leaders have to lead by example because they're pretty much done talking about about it. You know, hey, listen, I'm going to show you. I can't tell you anything else, but I'm going to show you how to prepare, and I'm going to show you how to play a football game, young buck. Just come and follow me. You know, so there's a lot of things that have to be, you know, the finger pointing. You never want to see that. Hopefully you don't ever see that either.
Well, and it doesn't correct any of the issues on either side of the ball. But the other thing is,
make everybody pissed off, and there's going to be fighting, and guys are, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Correct. And even if it is that type of a mindset, you know, and I've heard this a lot on previous shows, fans have thrown out, you know, the defense is just tiring down over the course of the season. I mean, yesterday the Giants won time of possession. Why? Because the Niners had explosive plays, so the defense wasn't even on the field that long. And then there were games where the Giants also won time of possession again, and they haven't come out with a victory.
Right.
So I just don't buy, and I'm not saying, Dave, you were pinpointing this, but I don't buy the fact that the defense is just at the point this far into the season where they're so worn out, they're so tired, and that's a reason why they're struggling when time of possession does not support that.
And defensively, look, go to one statistic when we're going to go to it. Go to the third down. If you want to get off the field, then
stop
them on third down.
Opportunities to do that, yeah.
All right, they were 67, not 57, 67% on third down yesterday. You want to get off the field, then stop them on third down.
And I'll take it a step further. Not only were they 67%, but it wasn't as if the Niners were facing third and twos and third and ones. They faced a third and 21, Jeff. They faced a third and 12. They faced a pair of third and fives. They faced a pair of third and sixes and a third and eight. Those were not, you know, gimme third downs.
Well, that's
all of
two
them.
Weeks in a row they've given up two third downs for more than 20 yards. One being last week.
The third and 33. And that was a screenplay, too.
Yeah.
So, anything else for us, Dave?
Yeah.
I just want to say that as a Giant fan, I just hope that there's a little bit of a bright future ahead of us when it comes to not being this team. When I mean this team, I mean the inconsistency of this team that has been going on for the past 5 years. And that's all we want. We don't mind you being bad. Just at least show us that you want to play and that you want you show the effort out there. Because that's all we really want as Giants fans. We don't want to turn on the TV and watch something like this anymore. And that's all I'm saying. But thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I'm not gonna.
Sure, Dave.
All right,
yeah.
Dave. Appreciate
the phone
call. Thanks so much.
Yep. Well, that's why we have this show. This is the show's about the fans, and we want to hear what you have to say. And listen, you know, when you're watching the product that's on the field. That's all you can expect. And really, as a player, then you need to give that back to the team. You need to give that back to your fans and go out there and show consistency. That's what it's all about. The National Football League is all about consistency. When it's broken down to every player, you want to be held accountable and you want to be able to have the ability to have confidence in your players that you are going to be consistent. You're going to get beat in the National Football League. You're going to throw interceptions. You're going to fumble. You're going to shank punts. You're going to miss field goals. But you consistently don't want to do that. You want to consistently play well. So when you do have one of those plays, because you're so consistent, you say, oh, it's just football. You know, but when you pile one after another and the inconsistency begins to build, that's when you kind of question as a fan, you know, what's going on here?
Well, before we wrap up the show, you teased earlier, we can't wrap up before
listen,
we at least address the true game this weekend.
And
I know this is not Hurricanes.com.
Yeah, but there's enough Miami fans around here. And I know.
Yes,
and
over Notre Dame.
And not only do I know there's a lot of Miami fans around here, I know for a fact that there's a lot of Notre Dame fans around this area. And the fact that they come in at number three in the country and they're this and they're that. Miami, it was such an unbelievable game.
It wasn't even a game, let's be honest.
It was the hype.
There's
was
another
there
term
and
that I would utilize.
And I tell you, just the college atmosphere being down there, the Miami is back. I'm telling you, everything is going well for them. The team is playing great. They're so fast on defense. Coach Rick has done a great job at putting that program back together. And I went to College Game Day, ESPN College. It was what a great experience. And listen, you know, Miami, just keep it up. And you Miami fans, and if I had my bet with Mike Golick. Everybody knows Mike Golick from Mike and Mike, and he will be wearing the turnover change on Wednesday for the show.
I saw you shipped it out, right? You put the photo up on
Twitter. I did. I shipped it out this morning. It's on its way up to Bristol, and I will be happy to watch him wear that chain on Wednesday because
that was
the bet. And listen, for all the Miami fans, just keep it up. And sorry, Notre Dame. Sorry.
9-0,
number two.
Miami Clemson ACC championship game.
Whew, that's going to be a big one. It's going to be a lot of orange in that stadium.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yes, but you know what? It's a hell of a turnaround for the Hurricanes,
I appreciate
especially
it.
With this young crew.
Yep.
So that is going to wrap up Big Blue Kickoff Live, a little college football flavor to end
it
up. Indeed. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday at noon Eastern as we now start to look ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs game at MetLife Stadium, 1 o'clock on Sunday. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Appreciate everybody for tuning in right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.